a cat died, ending up in heaven. God greeted him and said, "You have been a very good cat, a true friend to your owner. Is there anything I can do to make your stay here more pleasurable?" The cat replied, "I belong to a very poor family and had to sleep on a hard floor every night. I'd love to have a soft bed." God smiled and gave the cat a large, fluffy pillow. A few days went by, and a family of mice arrived in heaven. God greeted them and asked if there was anything he could do to make their stay more pleasurable. One of the mice said, "We lived a hard life on earth, always on the run from the farmer and his dog. Our feet are very tired. Could you give us some skates so we won't have to walk everywhere?" God smiled and gave the mice family several small pairs of roller skates. A few days went by, and God came back to check up on the cat. "How are you doing?" God asked. The cat replied, "Everything is wonderful. I love my new soft bed, and those Meals on Wheels you've been sending by are just terrific." While that may be a cat's idea of heaven, we know that nothing dies in heaven, so there's no need for food. There's no need to eat, and probably no desire to eat either. Indeed, there are none of the passions, lusts, and drives that we're so accustomed to on earth. It will be a place free of all desire, because every and anything we might want is already there in abundance. There's not a care in the world, for truly heaven is out of this world. And frankly, I would much rather be there these days than still stuck here on this world. But we are all here exactly for such a time as this, because God makes no mistakes, and he has put each and every one of us right here in this here and now, as both to be blessed ourselves and for us to be continuous blessings to the world around us in which we live. While all that is true, I find myself these days being surprised and shocked over and over again at the absolute depravity of mankind on vivid display around us. We gathered here know that God has given us his law for our own good and happy, joyful living. And when times of suffering come to us, as they inevitably will, we will still have unbeatable, invincible joy, because our Lord's presence is always with us. He's promised it. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, "In case you've forgotten, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." For why would we think that we can live a cushy, pain-free life for all our earthly years when our Lord suffered beyond our wildest imaginings in his all-too-short life on earth? If he suffered, and if we are to be like him, should we not also suffer and thereby learn obedience and gain the character of sons and daughters of the Lord that he will be proud of? For we know that God's law is to be obeyed, and we're to do our best to not sin and to follow it to the letter, for it is indispensable to enable living the godly life. We live in order to please God. Our lives are not our own, God says in Jeremiah 10:23 and elsewhere. But there are many others in the world, unaware of God's law or even of God himself, who live however they want. Most of them have no conscious knowledge of God whatsoever, and even if presented with any evidence that proves his existence, they will ignore it because they do not want to believe. As I've often said, people will believe what they want to believe. Whether something is true or not becomes totally irrelevant to them. As the scriptures predicted in 2 Timothy 3:13, "But evil people and impostors will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived." And in our current day and age, today, November 8th, 2020, certain news media organizations are imperiously and contemptuously proclaiming that the former vice president has won last Tuesday's election for the presidency. This is a blatant lie. Though, knowing human nature, I'm sure many of them actually believe it is true, because they want to believe it. And because they want to believe, they blind themselves to the facts all around them that contradict their beliefs. If you all have been paying attention, there is proof after proof that last week's election was fraudulent on a scale never before seen in this country, and on par with the so-called banana republics scattered about the world, where rigged elections are a normal way of life. Everyone just plays along, or else endangers their lives and livelihoods. What we're seeing in America is an attempted coup d'etat to thwart the will of the American people. The elitist deep state has been closing ranks these last 4 years to prevent their exposure and the just punishment due them for their ongoing corruption, and also what I believe may well have been a rigged election in 2012. In that case, the actual votes were so close that just a tiny nudge here and a few fraudulent ballots there was all it took to push the former president of that era over the top to victory. But in 2016, with all the polls wrong, everyone who thought they were important were convinced that Donald Trump could not possibly win, and so they let their guard down. Though they later tried to take President Trump down by claiming Russia rigged the election, what a joke, or that he was unfit, unstable, or whatever, God thwarted every attempt, every attack against his anointed leader. So this time around, the enemies of God were ready. As Dinesh D'Souza wrote on Parler yesterday, guess we know why Biden and Harris didn't bother campaigning. They had a different strategy. They knew they could never win, honestly, so this time they ramped up, quote, America's dirty little secret, unquote, of big city voting machines, as Senator Rand Paul termed it. Why else did vote counting suddenly stop in all the supposedly swing state Democratic-run big cities at the same time early Wednesday morning? It was because counting of ballots were all the rule. Trump-supporting counties had mostly finished, and now the people in the corrupt city election boards knew how many votes they had to come up with to overwhelm the tidal wave of Trump support elsewhere in their states. This very fact is confirmed by the sheer number of intercessors who were suddenly awakened from their beds or were struck in their spirits as they prayed on Wednesday morning. As Brad Long relayed, they contacted each other later that morning and discovered they had all been awakened at the same hour, 1:30 to 2:30 a.m. Eastern Time, by Blessed Holy Spirit, alerting them that demonic armies had just been unleashed to take down God's anointed leader for America. If you had any doubt, this battle is spiritual, not physical. It must be fought in the spiritual in order for righteousness to win. With yesterday's announcement that the former vice president is now the president-elect, the devil may think he's won, but he's in for a big surprise. Because just as he thought he had decisively won over Christ Jesus as the Lord hung dying on the cross, 3 days later, big surprise, Christ rose from the dead. Like the famous headline in the newspaper Harry S. Truman held up here in St. Louis the night of the 1948 election, which proclaimed Dewey defeats Truman, it proved to be just a bit premature. For President Trump legitimately won re-election by huge margins, and sooner or later, he will begin serving his second term in office. Now, the wicked enemy of the people, enemy of God, so-called mainstream media, along with their social media accomplices, will harp on and on about how the election is now settled, and it's time for everyone to move on and accept the inevitable. Well, it's not inevitable, it's not settled, and it can't be allowed to stand. For if we do nothing, we will be complicit in allowing America to die as a constitutional republic founded on the purposes of God. The dire consequences will not just affect us, but will be felt all around the world. So obviously, we must pray and pray and pray and keep praying. Did I say pray? And among our prayers must be for Blessed Holy Spirit to prick the consciences of those in the corrupted democratic-run cities to come clean and report the crimes they were complicit in committing to change the results of the election. For it is too easy for people to just go along. For they loved human praise more than the praise of God, as Lord Jesus explained in John 12:43. Truly, many people today are more afraid of the cancel culture, more sensitized to offending Satan, than they are of God. Our Lord warned us against this in Matthew 10:28. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. I don't know how the next few weeks will unfold. I am encouraged by the Stop the Steal movement growing on the Twitter alternative platform Parler after being booted off Facebook. Marches were held yesterday at the Capitol buildings in all 50 states. That is great. But more important is that we begin and end all our actions with prayer. Seek strength from Holy Spirit. Beseech His wisdom and insight, and He will guide you and embolden and buttress you. Do not listen to the words coming from the world. They are not of God, for only He is your everlasting, tender, loving Savior and Lord. And He will never, ever fail you. Let us pray. We thank You, Lord, that You are sovereign over all things. And we pray that You would give us additional guidance as to how You are working in this process for which so many of us were so disappointed this past week. So truly encourage us and enlighten us as to how You are working this out, that You will bring revival in America and the world. In Jesus' name, our Lord, King and Sovereign, Amen.